For those of you who are listening to this episode on the day of release, Merry Christmas.
Very Merry Christmas. I don't know why you would be listening to a Podzilla on Christmas Day, but hey, it's awesome to have you if you are.
Or Christmas Eve, if you're in the Americas. That's actually right. This is out Christmas Eve for everyone that's not in New Zealand. Yeah, but we thought we'd have a fun little time and shadow drop an episode for you all, just as a little stocking stuffer. And what we've done is we have scoured the internet and tried to find something very fitting, a kaiju Christmas movie.
We, to be honest, didn't think they existed. I remember we covered Gorath, and that's the one with the giant star and Maguma. We know it well. We all love it. And it's got a short scene based at Christmas, and it's got a kaiju in it for like 5 minutes. So that was the closest we had come before.
We wanted to try find something just a little more overtly Christmas.
Yeah.
And there was one little movie we found called Love and Peace. If you're looking at the thumbnail for this episode, you'll see, and this is all that we knew about it, is that there was a giant kaiju turtle.
And Santa, in some capacity.
And Santa. And you know, that was enough to get us on board.
Yeah. So we didn't know what we were in for. Love and Peace is very ambiguous for a title, I feel.
It really tells you everything that you need to know about them, about the movie, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, without further ado, should I just bring us straight into it?
Please cue up some music for this intro.
Oh, some love and peace
the
music.
Title theme.
Get ready. Ryoichi Suzuki, played by Hiroki Hasegawa, is an aspiring musician who works at a place that makes little components for musical instruments. The woman of his dreams, Yuko Terashima, played by Kumiko Aso, also works there, but fails to ever really notice him. Suzuki lives a pretty miserable life, always down on the dumps, always with stomach pains, always being late to catch the elevator. Suzuki is relentlessly bullied throughout his office and even the wider streets of the city, and the ridicule even continues on through his own TV. But he finally finds someone who loves him when he buys a pet turtle that he nicknames Picadon. Through a whirlwind of events, Suzuki shares his dreams with Picadon, that one day he dreams of winning Yuko over, of being a famous rock star, the sexiest man alive, heck, even playing a concert at the new Nippon Stadium. Picadon gets flushed down a toilet one day after Suzuki gets ridiculed and is discovered by an old man living in the sewers who fixes up and cares for discarded toys and unwanted pets. And the old man gives Picadon a little yellow pill that grants him one wish. Picadon's wish causes Suzuki to gain all the fame he ever wanted, and as Suzuki starts to climb higher and higher into stardom, he begins to forget what was once important to him. Oh, and Picadon also grows kaiju size after being fed another pill by the sewer man, who is revealed to have been Santa Claus all along. Anyway, it's a charming Christmassy movie about a man, his turtle, and their dreams for love and peace.
Love and peace, oh my war.
Keep going.
Do, 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 do.
Love and peace, oh my oh.
Da, 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 da.
Really hits me when you have the crowd singing that and the clapping.
Dude,
the times when he finally like let loose his song. I mean, this is a dream come true, Micah. We tick the boxes. Christmas, kaiju,
musical. Who would have thought?
You can count two kind of contemporary songs as a musical. I do love how his class is a musical, and it's like one song with five different variations throughout the movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you guys have watched this, I would recommend you watch this movie and track it down. It is very festive. I think you can find it on our good old reliable friend, archive.org. But
It's a wild movie. You probably guessed from some of that synopsis. And at the heart of it is Suzuki climbing and climbing the ladder of success as the movie goes on, joining a band, going off into a solo career, and all the songs he's kind of getting from this little turtle called Picadon.
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 Bro, I love Picadon.
And he initially, like when he flushes Picadon away and regrets it, he starts just singing a song and noticing words as he's walking down the street. And he sings a song about Picadon, and that gets changed to Love and Peace. And then he needs to keep writing songs because he's stuck in this, like he's a top of the charts musician now. And Picadon only gives him little bits and pieces. So it is funny. It's a musical, and there's only really like three songs Suzuki writes or sings throughout the majority of this movie, and they're just repeated again and again. Who's showing up for Suzuki's concerts? He's got sold out stadiums.
Yeah.
He's got three songs.
There are scenes where it cuts to like him singing Love and Peace in the middle of a set with his band. And you're like, okay, what other songs is he singing? Does he know anything else?
People are buying his album for Christmas. Is it just three songs?
It's like the new I'm Just Ken album.
That
just, it's like an EP.
Right? Did Ryan Gosling just drop that?
Hey, it came with a Christmas variant of the song.
Hey, that's exactly what this is. Suzuki's I'm Just Ken is Love and Peace.
Love and Peace. Love and Peace acoustic. Love and Peace Christmas. Love and Peace ska.
Yeah. But before he like gets all the success, he is just, he's really down in the dumps. He has no friends at all. Miserable, miserable life.
Bro, same.
True.
Me every single morning, stomach pains.
After a long night shift.
After a long night shift, going home and playing the game of life for 5 hours.
Maybe you need a pet turtle.
You know what? You're onto something here. What did you think of our main man, Ryoichi?
I realized that I had seen him before. He is actually the main actor in Shin Godzilla,
yeah,
which was another pleasant surprise.
Yeah. So we're going to see this dude again very soon.
We're going to see him again very soon.
I know in that he was like quite a put together, I want to say... I haven't seen the movie in ages. All I know about it is that he wears a suit for the movie, so I'm assuming he's some sort of
official. He's very put together
official.
In that. He has a suit. He doesn't have a suit in this.
What he does have in this is bad facial hair and the most grimace of grimaces.
And just wet hands. He's walking through the streets with wet hands because he's been
forget about that.
Trying to fit them down the toilet to get his turtle back.
Yeah, he's not the most well put together dude.
I liked him. It did seem a bit extreme. Like, this is not getting anywhere close to realism at all, any of this movie. Like, everyone hates him. He's on the bus going to work. Everyone hates him. He's in the office. Everyone hates him. Everyone on the TV who are talking about the Olympics, they hate him.
Specifically calling him out and putting up photos of him. I'm actually real curious if this is, like, meant to be an over-the-top movie for, like, family and kids, and he just is being ridiculed, or if this is more of a, you know, inside his mind... Everybody's out to get him. There isn't a single person who likes him, even so that the people on the TV are putting him down.
Yeah.
Even so that literally everybody in his office is dunking on him.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought it was going to be like. It was all in his mind, and slowly he's going to start to accept himself with the love of this turtle, and it will change his world. But it is very literal. Everyone literally hates him in the whole world. Then he becomes famous. Everyone loves him. And he doesn't really change much. My biggest issue was that his character doesn't really learn any lessons, doesn't change at all.
No. He does change. He stretches out his neck. He loses his smirk. And he becomes like a totally different look. Like, this is probably the number one most believable transformation I've ever seen in a movie. Like, forget Miley Cyrus to Hannah Montana.
Princess Diaries. Glow up.
This is Ryoichi to... What's his name in this?
Can't even remember.
Something Rio?
Yeah, Rio.
Wild Rio.
Wild Rio, his stage name.
He looks totally different. Yeah, but the main say throughout this is that his little turtle, Picadon, is the one who kind of starts getting him everything that he wants in life.
Picadon loves him so much. So when Picadon gets this little wish pill, he just cares about Suzuki.
Like, I get that, like, they had some good times together. Playing that game of life together, having Picadon run down that street of the kaiju. Just imagine if you had a best friend, a best turtle pet yourself. You spend like a couple days with him.
I had a rat.
Imagine if you were, that you had a rat.
Amelia?
You loved this rat so much.
I did love her.
Then you flushed her down the toilet.
I had to put her to sleep because she grew a tumor, but close, yeah.
I don't feel like Picadon was...
No!
Like, Picadon was love-struck by Rio.
Picadon,
blinded by what he did.
He was blinded. Suzuki was a terrible pet owner. Suzuki was never caring for Picadon and his needs. He was just like, he was using
Picadon. Hey, Picadon, I don't care about what you're feeling right now, but hey, I want to be the sexiest man alive. Remember that. The first chance of strife and he gets Picadon out of the picture.
Yeah, I know. And that is my issue because he has a glow up. He becomes this real famous rock star, but he also becomes just a huge douche.
Yeah.
Like there's this girl that he liked in the office. What was her name? Yuko. Yuko. Quiet girl that works in his office with him. She is a bit nicer to him than most of the others. If they stick stickers on his back that say hazardous waste, she takes them off.
Mm.
But like she's really nice. She obviously likes him when he starts getting famous. He obviously likes her back. But in the matter of time, he ditches her for all the hot woman of the rock star lifestyle, you know? And it doesn't really change. What changes at the end is he loses Picadon. He loses how he can get all his music and songs. And he goes back to normality. And then he takes Yuko back.
Yeah. Oh, we don't necessarily see that.
No, we don't.
We see they have a little bit of, I don't know if you'd even call it like chemistry.
A little bit.
They sit down together and have a glass of wine and that's about it.
He's still awkward as.
I'm with you there. The end of this movie, Picadon ends up turning into Big Kaiju.
Yeah.
And Picadon's still love struck. Never once do we see that Picadon teaches him any lessons. He ends up just parroting to Rio.
Yeah.
All the things that he said to him.
Yeah.
Which apparently is just enough for him to drop his worldwide lifestyle and go back to sulking in his apartment. Like he didn't learn anything.
He goes back to exactly how he started. Didn't change. Didn't learn. Hopefully, because Picadon comes back at the
Picamon.
End. Picamon comes back at the start, and he's a little turtle again. So hopefully, you know, Suzuki would treat him a bit nicer this time around.
Maybe they'll play some Game of Life together.
What did you think of Picadon overall? Because this is our...
Bro, I love Picadon.
A turtle.
I love Picadon.
This is our turtle.
We have little turtle, actual Picadon. And then when he goes into this little sewer Christmas Santa cave.
Wonderland.
That reminds me a lot of Gremlins.
Yeah.
So much of Gremlins. He takes this pill to start growing, and then he turns into this little puppet, and it might be the cutest puppet I have ever seen in my entire life.
Because
for any movie ever.
I know. And he's a real turtle at the start. Like they've got a real live turtle, grows into a puppet they've made, grows into Suitmation, and then grows into a huge over-the-top kaiju. Pretty cool.
It's nice. It's nice. And Picadon has the cutest voice.
Love and peace, omae wo wasurenai.
He's actually voiced by, I think it's pronounced Iku Otani, who voices Pikachu.
No way.
And Chopper from One Piece.
The voice of Pikachu voices Picadon.
Picadon.
Would you call it voicing? Picadon just goes, ba 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 ba.
Ba fa fa. Ba fa.
Ba fa fa.
Ba fa fa. Pikachu does speak at the end.
Pikachu does.
Pika.
Yeah.
Pika speaks at the end of this.
And so does
Picamon. Picadon.
So does
Picadon.
Yeah.
It's nice though because I think we've had a chat on our like OG Hanna-Barbera Godzilla animated episodes and the Scooby-Doo Patreon episode that we did.
Mm.
About how there are a lot of those animated actors who just voice so many different roles. I think
animals and roars and monsters.
Yeah, I think that's like what Otani is in Japan. She just voices all the cute characters.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see her here and have the chance to voice the cutest kaiju character in all time.
Hey, for cuteness, I see your Picadon. I will raise you Sulky. Sulky, the little puppeted black cat. With patchwork. Squares all over him. It's a good word, patchwork. This guy is his little bounce. He's this sulky, sulky little cat called Sulky, you know?
Sulks a lot.
I liked him. Then we also had Maria, the little doll that befriended Picadon.
Yeah, and then like PC-900 or something.
Some robot terms. A lot of live dogs and cats.
Yeah.
We get to the scene underground where it's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Pikadon takes a little flushed away trip down the toilet, and he ends up in this little sewer cabin, and we see this man called Pa, who later we find out is Santa. But there's just so many animals and toys in this cabin, and like so much puppet work, but also actual animals.
And I was impressed because they all seem to be really behaving themselves. Like the cats are just sitting around waiting for their cue.
Yeah, there are scenes where, as well as cats in a scene, you have owls, rabbits, reindeer? Parrots, guinea pigs, reindeer, monkeys.
There's a monkey. Yeah.
All just jiving together and having a good time along with all these,
the Christmas tree.
Like, I don't know how they get all these animals on set. One, to behave with each other, but then two, to behave with all this puppetry that's happening.
Yeah, it's really good.
As well. Like, these scenes are a real feat of like artistry and how they actually managed to get all these elements together.
Yeah. It was cool. It was definitely my favorite bits of the movie. I mean, it's a weird, wild movie. There's so much to love about it. But I really liked Pikadon and this troupe of animals and puppets. And I mentioned it before, but when Pikadon grows bigger and bigger and turns into this like human-sized turtle, he's a guy in suitmation. And there's some real fun scenes when he's like underneath a box moving around. And then
he's going full Solid Snake style.
He's going full Solid Snake. And then he gets strapped to this operating table when all the scientists are like doing their tests on him. And then he grows to huge kaiju size, and it is a guy in a suit walking down like a miniature city, and it looked amazing.
It looks good. I know that little street crawl, they took like 6 whole days to film that.
Really?
And a big final building that he crawls up, the Tokyo Metropolitan Government Building, they had to build like a huge 1/25th scale of it, which you have little Pikadon in his suitmation suit, just crawling up this huge building.
Yeah.
And how wild is it that that building just gets totally destroyed while Rio's having his concert?
No one notices.
The news reporters, we see flashes of them talking about Pikadon's destruction. And they're like, so far, no civilians have been injured. There's been enough time for them to all evacuate. The biggest government building immediately starts crashing down. And like I feel like this is like the Japanese equivalent of like the Two Towers happening right behind this stadium.
I know. It's crazy. Think there's so many pillars of fire just throughout the city as Pikadon's just slowly walking through. And I was like, oh, everyone's alive, are they? No casualties. That's very nice and happy. There's no way. There is no way.
It's the most juxtaposition I've ever seen. You have Pikadon in his suit. You have tanks, explosions, and guns. And then in the background, there's just this like carnival music. The jauntiest tune I've ever heard.
I couldn't stand that tune. That plays like constantly throughout this movie. I mean, the music was good overall. I did like Love and Peace.
Love and peace.
Oh my,
oh my,
oh my. It was a good song, and it there were some parts where it was really actually pretty good when they came in with it, like Pikadon's doing his destruction at the end, and we like finally see him standing up, and then the chorus comes in again, like when he breaks free initially. Yeah. Like there's some,
but then you have other times as well. I think the first time he sings. It's wild how he starts his rock star career here. He literally just gets like leashed and chained by this band. He essentially becomes a homeless person, and they just drag him into their van, chuck him out in front of a microphone, give him a guitar, and just mocking him to start singing. And he starts singing, and yeah, it's good lyrics, but he's not the best singer.
No.
Like across this whole movie.
Yeah, relatable. Very relatable.
We feel you, man. We feel you, Rio.
Yeah.
But I think we have some Stockholm syndrome because of this song.
Yeah.
Like you hear it 10 times throughout the movie. Of course you can't help but have it as a little earworm.
You end the movie and it is literally the best song ever written.
Yeah.
Ever performed.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of Wild Yuko, Wild Yuki,
Wild Ryo.
Yeah. That guy. I'm his biggest fan. Wild Ryo,
biggest fan. Yeah, Wild Yuki.
Yeah, Wild Yuki. The big reveal of this movie is that Pa in the sewers, who's collecting up all these discarded toys and pets and showing them a nice time, is Santa Claus. Am I right in saying that?
Yes. It feels like there's two different movies happening here. The sewer Santa part feels so disconnected.
It was so left field. Like, I was like, oh, it's a Christmas movie. There's like mall Santas in the streets. There's snow falling. There's Christmas toys being on sale. And I was behind it. It was cool. It was Christmassy. Actual Santa. Bang. Actual Santa. Santa turns all these pets into little puppies and kittens and turns
Santa
all these...
Santa getting drunk.
He does get drunk. And he gift wraps all these toys and puts them into pristine condition at the end.
I don't think he turns them into toys or turns them into animals. I think he literally just sends animals and toys away.
Is what
for Christmas morning.
Is what Santa is, according to this movie, is he's a dude who lives in the Japanese sewers.
Yes.
He collects up toys and pets people don't want and
the thing that
re-gifts them to people on Christmas Day?
Well, yes. That's what we find out while it's happening. There's a scene... I thought this movie took a real different turn for what it did. There's a scene where Santa gets them all together on Christmas. He's like, yeah, everybody have some of this special... He pops one of his little pills and all these drinks. He's like, yeah, everybody have this special drink.
Everyone's partying. They're decorating the Christmas tree.
Everybody's shouting and laughing. And then you hear just their voices and their laughter dying down in the background to silence. And you see Santa looking around and there's just these lifeless bodies on the ground. And you're like, hold the phone. Did Santa just murder all of these pets and cats and animals to try and like... stop them from feeling the pain of never getting to another family again?
The pain of life. He just let them all go. And he's sitting there with his drink and he's like, good night. Sleep well, little pets and toys. Yeah, I was like, what is going on? Drunk Santa is just this murderer.
I was like, oh my gosh. Because I don't know if you know, but the director here.
Sion Sono?
Sion Sono.
I've seen one of his movies before.
Have you? What have you seen?
Prisoners of the Ghostland. It's a Nick Cage movie that is just as weird as this. So I think he's known for making like real out there weird Japanese cinema.
I know he has like somewhere between six and eight movies that he did at the time of this one. But he's usually the person who does like really kind of raunchy, kind of like... quite dark.
Yeah, I saw some stuff. Of the titles. Yeah.
Like some of them are like 4 hour long introspectives. And then he makes this one. It's like, oh yeah, nice family kaiju film. As I thought he was going to go back to his roots for a second there and be like, oh, we're going kaiju and bad Santa.
Bad Santa. Yeah. I mean, that part didn't really work for me. The two things that didn't work for me in this whole movie was the weird Santa stuff. I get what they were going for, that he like gives all the toys and the pets a second chance. Like, that's a real nice story, right? If you have a kid, show them this movie, they're like, oh, my discarded doll that I used to have. It's probably being re-gifted by Santa to someone else.
It's like Miracle on 34th Street a little bit, how you have the dude who ends up being Santa.
But it's just... because there's one of the dolls in this, Maria, who...
Maria, she has her own like little side story.
Yeah, that she wants to be... She finds her old owner and wants to be a doll in the shop again. But at the very end...
This is Toy Story.
It's Toy Story.
This is a Toy Story.
She's at the end, she's being held by Santa and she's like, this isn't the first time you've done this, is it, Santa? So she obviously has been like discarded multiple times and then just keeps getting re-gifted.
Oh, yeah.
Poor Maria.
Man, poor Maria.
But yeah, that part was just weird. Like, I loved how it had Christmas vibes when it went really literal Santa toys. Very strange. And then I wasn't completely behind Suzuki's whole transformation or lack of. But the music was great. Loved the music. Love and Peace. I'll say it again. Best song ever of all time.
Definitely best song of December 2023.
And I just loved how weird it was. I love weird films. This was so weird and goofy. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, a few different things this movie, I don't know whether to take it real literally or like it's trying to say something about, you know, Christmas consumerism, how the kid's always wanting the newest toys.
Hey, newest turtle.
Fame and the newest turtle and fame and stardom getting to your head. But then it kind of doesn't resolve those in the best way either. But you get some, you get like 5 minutes of kaiju action here.
Yeah, that's good.
And I really adore all the puppetry and all the tokusatsu elements of this film.
It did feel like a love letter to it all. Like, this director obviously loves that kind of stuff. He really wanted to like showcase it in a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Even at the end when Pigadon's on his rampage and it's cutting back and forth between like miniatures made to resemble the real street and miniatures made to resemble the like Game of Life Monopoly board that the little turtle was on at the start. That was pretty creative.
And like at the end of it, if you remember back to the Game of Life, there was the final decision that Pigadon had to make, whether, you know, he went through the whole way, he got lots of money for Rio, and then he had to choose between staying on the rich path.
Yeah.
Or becoming poor again, but getting the medicine.
Hey.
And maybe that's what this is. Maybe he brought Rio right back down. But he's in a better place now.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he has what he needs, and what he needed was
pills? Medication? A better mental health state?
Better mental health state.
Is that the true meaning of Christmas?
Just watch after your mental health, people.
Yeah, watch your mental health. Where you are right now, even though it might not feel like the best place, it could be with a different outlook, you know? I don't know. It was very weird. It felt like the whole conclusion didn't work, but I appreciated the journey.
Yeah. I'll chuck a little bit of trivia in here. Well, can't go without trivia.
Trivia.
I know that Sion Sono really loves his Gamera films.
Of course, makes sense.
And this is very evocative of those movies. In those movies, we have these kids who are pressured into releasing their turtles into the wild, which is kind of like this. He's pressured into flushing his turtle down the toilet.
Yeah, sure. I can't wait for the Gamera films to show the turtle, giant turtle Gamera, lifelike, moving real slowly and no one getting hurt. No casualties in those ones.
No casualties.
He's a turtle as well.
Everybody's able to escape.
Yeah.
Mentioned how Ikue Otani voices Pikachu.
Yeah.
And she voices Pikadon. Jaisha.
Sulky. Sulky, my favorite black cat.
He's a favorite black cat. He's also voiced by... Now, you might not know this Pokemon character.
I'll know it.
Meowth?
Meowth, the little, like, creamish, whitish-colored cat with, like, a little Egyptian symbol on his forehead.
Yeah, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, there you go.
He works together with Team...
Rocket?
Yes. Guys, we're teaching him. And he's the one Pokemon in the anime who can actually talk English.
Really?
He goes like, wow, Meowth. That was wild.
Just says his name.
Yeah, but in this movie, Sulky is voiced by the Meowth voice actor, Inuko Inuyama.
So they got him to voice a cat. They got Pikachu to voice Pikadon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey.
And we got Hiroki Hasegawa playing the main character of Shin Godzilla.
Yeah.
Your kaiju elements, everything in there.
A lot of crossovers.
It's not too much else I could find, but Revolution Q.
Oh, the band.
The band name?
Yeah.
It's kind of evocative of Ultra Q.
I thought that as well. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
One of the Ultra Q episodes is called Grow Up Little Turtle, which focuses on a boy whose pet turtle turns into a giant.
Whoa.
So like there's a lot of little aspects here and there which are taken from various pieces of Japanese media.
Yeah. If you like kaiju, if you love Japanese cinema, give it a watch. Like, you will find heaps of cool crossover and callback, and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, watch it before December's up. I do feel like this film is one that I would enjoy a lot more on repeat viewings.
Me too, yeah.
Because coming in, I had no expectations.
None at all.
Zilch expectations.
Oh, well, should we wrap it up?
Yeah,
well,
give me some final thoughts, Jaisha.
I think I've said everything that I had in my notes. Yeah, I thought it was cool. It was a very fun, weird time. It was a side of Japanese movies I haven't really seen a whole lot of. I love House. You've probably heard of House, right?
I've heard of House.
Crazy, wacky, haunted house.
On the poster, is there a cat?
Smiling cat, yeah. Kind of evocative of some of that kind of weird, absurd filmmaking. And I really enjoyed those aspects. But then when it got really literal and magical at the end with the Santa stuff, it went a bit too off the rails for me. And I wish I just felt for these characters more. Like, I don't feel for Suzuki, even though he was the kind of guy you want to root for at the start.
down on his luck. You don't really like, as soon as he starts singing, you don't really, you're not there with him.
It's like Picadon grants his wish and then it just kind of reveals how much of a douche he actually is.
Yeah, big time. So I'm probably going to give this, I mean, it was good. I had a good time. I'll give it 3 out of 5 unconscious pets and broken toys. Because it's Christmas.
It is Christmas.
Yeah.
I was absolutely thrown for a loop when I thought they died, dude. I think it's legitimately the most shocked I've ever been at a potential plot twist.
Santa. Yeah, sure, he's Santa, but he's killing everyone.
Whoa. Because he has his little board with all these other pets as well. And you're like, wait, are these the ones? Are these like memorials for his past pets? Yeah, I'm going to give it three unconscious pets and animals as well. Pets and toys and animals. I think this movie is trying to push a message. I mean, we didn't even talk about how Picadon is, like, the word is based off the onomatopoeia for, I think it's like a flash and a boom.
Yeah.
That's what some of the A-bombs were called back in the war.
There's a lot of like underlying themes and mentions throughout the movie of Japan's forgotten the atomic bombs. Japan's forgotten its past.
I mean, that's what the whole Love and Peace song is actually about.
Yeah, to make Japan remember what it's been through. There's also everything about like the Olympics coming up in Japan and it's going to really boost the economy. And like, I guess it's a little bit of what you were talking about, like consumerism push.
And I know that those messages can be quite overt in places and sometimes I feel like they're a little more hidden throughout this movie. But even though those are there, I don't think that it portrays those messages in the best way. And I do think it comes off as, just this real absurdist movie where you don't know whether to take it literally or metaphorically in a lot of the situations. And I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it is still enjoyable. And like I said, I think that on repeat Christmas viewings, this is going to be a fun one to come back to.
Yeah. Again, just what I said before, like if you like the kind of stuff that we cover on Podzilla and that we've talked about before, you will really enjoy this.
I would watch this solely for Picadon.
Me too. And solely the Suitmation. Oh boy.
Picadon. There are so many moments throughout this movie where he's just like, Picadon!
Picadon!
Picadon! Picadon!
He's like grabbing turtle guitars and he's thinking it's really Picadon.
Picadon! Man, I love Picadon.
I love Picadon. Mike, do you hear that? Do you hear that music coming in?
Is that some little jingle jangling in the background?
Oh my goodness, is this how we're going to finish off the episode?
I know Love and Peace was a good song, Jason, but do you think we could do a little bit better?
Get ready.
Have yourself a merry kaiju Christmas. Behold Godzilla's might. Next year, the Monsterverse will be inside.
Oh, that's a hard act to follow. Let's try.
Have yourself a merry kaiju Christmas. January 2, G-Day. We can't wait for you to listen and to press play.
Hey, and maybe even give a little rating if you'd like it.
This year, we've had Biollante.
We have.
We've had -1 and more.
Many more.
Treasured guests have jumped on with us. And in space, there was a war.
It was indeed a war in space.
That's right.
But the best thing is we've all been here together, crowding round the mic.
I don't know if everyone has been, but hey.
You could join the Discord if you would like.
Links in the show notes, just if you wanted to check that out.
So have yourself a merry Kaiju Christmas now.
Thank you all for an amazing 2023 for Podzilla. We wouldn't be here without you.
We're going to round out the year with one more episode with our favorite friends, Adam and Alex. But until then, have a very merry Kaiju Christmas.
Kaiju Christmas.